Well, it happened. I was asked to join a Rings of Power conversation with some Lord of the Rings geeks, and I said yes. October 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining three other podcast hosts to talk about Rings of Power Season 2. Now, they all actually talk about Lord of the Rings all the time, and I don't. I'm considered the outsider of the group. I'm not nervous about it at all. I'm totally nervous about it, especially because I haven't even watched it yet. But don't tell them that. I can still watch it. There's still time. This live event will, again, start at 8 p.m. Eastern, and you have to register for the event, and part of the proceeds will be supporting charity. So that's pretty cool. You can register for the live event right now at ringspodcast.com/live. A link is in the description of the podcast today, and also you can find it on Discord in the Captain's Pod channel. I'll pin it to the top. So join Captain's Pod, me, John from Lorehounds, Marilyn from Rings and Rituals, and Aaron from Lore of the Rings, October 11th from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern at ringspodcast.com/live to talk about Rings of Power Season 2. Okay, bye. Oh my god, what is happening? It just turned, it's open. Huh? What did I just see? What the fuck was that? No.
Captain's Pod, Stardate 1690-64.1. Welcome aboard the Starship's Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave from the world of CinemaSins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, I caught her trying to trick two ensigns into swapping place with her on board the Enterprise. It's Ambassador Danae. Explain yourself. Why do you want to leave my ship?
I'm going to reference the outtakes already. The bathroom, man. The bathroom just needs some work.
What's wrong with the bathrooms on this Enterprise? There's more than one. I did say bathrooms plural. You're just not allowed to use the one on the bridge. That's my one.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I want the bridge. Yeah.
You want my one. You specifically want my toilet.
And if you change to another one, I will want that one too.
I hate this. I should not be surprised. I'm not going to ask what it is about my toilet specifically that you want. Just so that I can't have it anymore, or you want to share?
I want to know why somebody gets to have something that I don't get to have.
The captain. I'm the captain.
Yeah.
It's not a democracy.
You're talking to an American.
Everything's a democracy if you try hard enough. Amazing. Well, this week we are getting into Lower Decks Season 1, Episode 7, which is Much Ado About Boimler. Now, last week we did Episode 5, and on Saturday, that's just passed, we re-released our episode covering Season 1, Episode 6. Which was the one with Badgie, temporal provocations, damn it, temporal something. But I did like a quick check through it to make sure it was okay. And at the end of the episode, I actually say, we're recording this strangely out of order, so I don't know what you listened to last week, and I don't know what you'll be listening to next week, but enjoy it. Goosebumps. I was like, what? I can't remember the context for that. But it was, we could have released that on a Wednesday and it would have been absolutely perfect.
Aren't you so proud of yourself?
I'm proud of the universe for making that work. So if anyone's confused, thinking that we re-recorded that episode for some reason, nope, that's just a weird thing that happened in 2022 that lined up perfectly with what we're doing now. It's kind of amazing.
I think you did it on purpose and you just forgot your brilliance and you're just giving credit to the universe.
You are overestimating my brain and editing abilities.
I'm trying to remember what happened in the previous episode. Is it just because, is Badgie just the only thing that I...
Boimler and Mariner cause some kind of trouble that gets a lieutenant into... No, that gets another lower decker into trouble, the guy with curly hair.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll take the fall for you and stuff. And then things gradually get more and more and more out of hand. Anyway, Boimler and Mariner end up annoyed because he gets promoted so quickly. But the most fun part of the episode is Rutherford accidentally creating Badgie. And then him and Tendi having to kill Badgie. But this week, this episode is called Much Ado About Boimler, and it is if not my favorite episode of the season. So no pressure, but I've got a feeling you're going to like this one.
That is pressure. What do you mean no pressure?
You don't have to. You never have to. And I know you'll never lie, but I think you're going to enjoy.
Okay.
Well, without further ado about Boimler, let's head over to the holodeck and watch the episode. We'll see you all in 10 forward. Two to me around. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab a drink or something from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode of Star Trek that we just watched. Most important question first, what would you like from the replicator ambassador?
I would like to wear ninja clothes today.
Oh, just the all black ninja undercover outfit? Heck yes. I want the plant then. I guess I'll just replicate the special plant that might be seeded somewhere that's important, but we're not too sure why. And yeah. Give us a synopsis of this amazing episode.
Have you ever wanted to know what happens when people get wounded in horrible, horrible ways?
Mm-hmm.
People who cannot be helped in just basic old sick bay? It's called sick bay, right? It's not called something different?
Yeah, no, it's the bay where people
are
sick.
We're not ruining 10 forward and sick bay?
No, it's not. Okay, okay. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's sick bay because it's where the sick people are. Yeah.
Well, this episode reveals that information. We also get to see Mariner struggle with being great.
The complications of progression and success.
Have you ever known anybody who has been a self-saboteur because they fear success?
Not to the extent that Mariner is, but I have 100% worked with, I think I've worked with more people that have put the brakes on their own career because they don't want the extra stress than I've worked with people who are ambitious and try and get to the top.
Yeah. But well, episode is going to give you so many examples of what it could look like in your life. If you ever come across someone, they're all rolled up into one character named Mariner. And also, Tendi creates life. And it's not because she got pregnant.
She sure did. She created the best form of life I can imagine. Oh my goodness. Overall thoughts and feelings, Ambassador. How did you, after an episode last week that you definitely kind of, well, you did not like last week's episode, how did you feel about this week, considering I hyped it up a little bit as one of my favorites?
You did hype it up, and I thankfully kind of try to put that in the back of my mind so that I wouldn't feel the pressure of liking something that a friend likes, but I think I enjoyed this episode overall. I have to say, watching somebody struggle with greatness and self-sabotage is obviously one of the recurrent themes of this show. And that's okay. Yeah. It's okay for a show to have specific themes that they're focusing on. But similar to an over-the-head romance theme, every once in a while, I will find myself just checking out when there's a repetition to a story element, wondering if it's going a little bit into the crutch department. And so I'm asking myself while I'm watching this if I'm finding it relatable. Mm-hmm. Like I do relate to a lot of Mariner's chaos and her, I don't know, there's parts of her personality that I really kind of feel a kinship toward. And I actually know what it feels like to rise up in the ranks of something and realize it's just not as fun for you. Like that, having responsibility does change my desire to be engaged in certain ways. Mm-hmm. So, but she's a very extreme example. And yeah, in this one, I was really interesting that moment whenever she accepts being not first mate.
No, same thing. First officer, first
it's not,
mate.
Though.
It is exactly it's the same not. Thing.
It no, is. It's first officer. No, it's first
number
officer.
One.
And she has this hesitant look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was in that moment that I was like, oh yeah, this is probably going to be a self-saboteur.
Yeah.
And with there being multiple self-saboteurs that we've been watching, I just want it to feel new. And then, of course, knowing that there's even more as the seasons go on, I found myself disassociating from that character, which is hard for me because I like Mariner's character. So I'm almost like protecting myself by putting up some barriers in a way. Like I'm like, I guess I'll just kind of check out a little bit here. But it wasn't that I didn't like it. It's just that was the hardest part for me.
I think that's a great way to explain it. And I think if we'd done season one first, we probably wouldn't be talking about that as much because we didn't mention it too much when we've covered like season three and season four because it was new. But I'm in exactly the same boat. And it's why I'm not mad that Lower Decks is ending because I think it was always going to have a finite arc. Like the Lower Deckers, once you start promoting them and they stop being Lower Decks, the show stops. So unless you do this anthology thing that moves into like other Lower Deckers that come into the come onto the Cerritos or come onto a different ship, which I think they could absolutely do and would be really cool. You do end up spinning your wheels a bit. So I'm right there with you. But this is like the reverse for me. this episode gets a pass and I'm more engaged because I remember it from season one. As soon as I get into season two and three and this is still happening, that's where I disassociate. And I'm like, I love you, Mariner, but this is exhausting. Like, between mummy drama and then career drama, it's like, where are we going? Where's the progression? And we do get some more of that at the end of season three and season four. It just, yeah, it feels a little bit wheel spinny. So I'm with you for that. The Mariner part of the story is that B plot, or I guess it's the A plot. But anyway, whatever her bit of the story is the bit I kind of enjoy less with this. Although we do get a little bit more of like an explicit, oh, you really are self-sabotaging by the end of the episode. Like, she spells it out. Like, what if I just want to be a great ensign? Like, because the vast majority of the characters we've seen in Star Trek so far have been progression. Like, Harry in Voyager is chasing a promotion. Wesley is rewarded with promotions. Worf gets a promotion. Like, everything is kind of about progression and who's eventually going to get the captain's chair. Even Deanna, the counselor, is like, what if I want a shot at the captain's chair? And what if not everybody wants to do that? Like, that's the bit I like the most, is representing the other people in Starfleet. They're like, hey, what if I just like it down here?
There's something else that this episode, a lot of storytelling does, or in this episode also does, which is that maybe Mariner has a lack of understanding of what she's doing, and so she doesn't know how to talk about it. But by the end of the episode, she does. She says, or maybe it's the captain, I can't remember. Was it the captain who said, I'll do less recruiting and you do less sucking and start kicking ass as an ensign or something like this?
Yeah, but basically.
There was like a moment there towards the end. And I guess this is the point, the thing that I'm kind of trying to reach for here is Mariner has an option to just say, I don't want to rise in the ranks. But I guess at this point in the series, maybe she's not quite aware of that yet. You know, maybe she's not aware that of what she's doing. It's maybe not an active thing. And perhaps this episode was an attempt here in the first season to kind of show that I can't tell if she's aware of it and actively sabotaging. I think the episode's saying that, but I have a hard time believing she'd be putting people's lives in danger by just like purposefully forgetting tricorders or whatever. Like,
that flood thing seems very dangerous.
Yeah.
There's two things. Nick in the live chat, I'm just going to give him a quick shout out because he mentioned a really good thing that's important to remember, is that during season four, we find out a bit of Mariner's backstory, that she was really driven, but then one of her friends at the academy gets killed on a mission. And she elaborates a bit more that one of the reasons she doesn't want to be in command is because she doesn't want to order her friends to their death. Like, she doesn't want to have to go through that kind of loss again. My question is, did the show know that at this point? Like,
yeah, I don't know that it. I mean, let's say that like they do.
They might.
Then, if they knew that at this point, that's part of her backstory, I think I would love that.
Yeah.
And in this case, she's not taking a captain's position; she's taking a first officer position. But even then, you know,
it can still happen.
Pushing the wrong buttons on accident or on purpose, whatever she's doing, isn't a major thing. And so, like, sending off the red alert, not a major thing, but why fail at the little things? Why say yes to it at all? And that's the part that I'm confused with in this episode, is that she kind of seems to have done it because she just wants to hang out with her old buddy from college and fuck around. And I have a hard time thinking that she's wanting other people to sabotage as well. But I think at this point, the show is wanting us to kind of see that maybe Mariner doesn't know what she's actually wanting.
I think there's a little bit of pride in there as well. Like, even though she's like, this is deliberate, this is her friend, they graduated at the same time and she's a captain, even though Mariner is comfortable being an ensign, there's still a little bit of pride about, like, yeah, I know I'm not a captain, but quit it, but I could totally do it. And then she shifts hard into, I have to self-sabotage so that you don't try and recruit me. But there's another element where I think she was promoted. Like, she was a lieutenant at one point at least, and then got demoted. So I think maybe over the last few years of her career, she has been doing it the nice way, and people still aren't getting it. They're still like, you should be promoted. So now she's had to go to the like extreme of the spectrum and say, right, well, I've really got to fuck things up to make sure that people don't pressure me into this. Like, I've tried it the subtle way, and people still assume that I should be progressing.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Overall, though, I think the episode does what Lower Decks does really well, which is towards the end, it's really going back and forth between the stories that it's showing, and it felt like a very action-packed episode.
Yes.
Because we have an attack on a ship paired with this mutiny situation that Boimler is in. I don't know which is the A plot and which is the B plot. Do you?
I mean, I think technically Mariner is the A plot because she's the protagonist of the show. And Boimler
but
is the B
episode
plot.
Is called Much Ado About Boimler.
It's misdirect. I genuinely think the show is still misdirecting us into not realizing Mariner is the main character.
And I think this episode is both. I think it just goes back and forth between the two pretty
evenly.
It's
an even split, yeah.
Yeah, because we have an interesting thing that this episode does in that at the end it merges the A and the B together because the Boimler thing is all about this transporter issue, which we'll get to. And then at the end of Mariner's adventure as being the first officer, she needs what Rutherford had created with this teleportation to save the day.
Yeah.
I think the episode feels rushed, and I think that it was just barreling towards the end, and this is the episode that at the end I'm like, I don't know how any of that just happened, but okay, that's pretty.
But it's,
you know?
It's so pretty. And this is why I'm such a sucker, because I didn't think it was rushed. I loved it. I loved it so much. And I love, like, Rutherford running. You just suck me in with a last minute emergency beam out. It is the most MacGuffin-y thing you could possibly do. It's like, we don't need to think about this. The transporters will solve this problem. But you have somebody running through the ship like Rutherford is, never mind that he could be beamed to the place that he needs to be, but running through the ship, an emergency beam out, last minute, energize, whoosh, bring it out. I'm in. I'm all in. And then the ship explodes into this beautiful space jellyfish thing, obvious callback. And I'm just like, I'm sucked in, because it's like, it's fast-paced, it's fun, it looks beautiful, and all of my critical brain just goes out of the window. So thank you for being the objective critic here, because I fucking love that finale. I can't not like
it. It's so nice. I don't understand how they were inside the creature or how it had merged with the ship. I want to get into that.
I want to get into that, but... You're going to have more sins than me this week.
No. It's so hard to sin this show because it's so fast-paced and the dialogue is, you know, just warp speed. So there's really not a lot that you can do except for just get on the ride. It's like a roller coaster. You strap in for the beginning of it, you're on the ride, and at the end you're like, okay, I think I like this loop-de-loop, but this da-da-da-da-da, you know.
This was one of the episodes that I wanted to play at like 0.75 speed because it's going so freaking fast. On the B-plot with Boimler, though, this gets one of the biggest laughs from me with that cold open. That fucking dog.
I
love it so much. There are so many layers there. First of all, Tendi creates a brand new creature. She's proud of the coding, and everyone's just like, it's a dog. Like, you could create any creature you wanted, and you made a golden retriever, like, or a Labrador, whatever it is. Like, okay, cool. But then
same difference.
It all of its limbs bend, and then it like jumps into the corner, and boom, it's just like, not a dog, not a dog.
Tell me that you're gonna put in the outtakes my scream.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I was so glad everything was being recorded on like full. I have all of the channels recorded. I have the show. I have me. I have you. It's all going in there. When that dog does its thing, oh my goodness, it's so fun. What a good boy.
I even said when it happened, well, thank God this isn't going to continue. Because they usually have the cold open an unrelated part.
Thank God they never refer back to the cold open. And I was like, oops.
I love that Tendi just didn't know what a dog did. It was a genuine mistake. It wasn't even, it was like, if someone told me the name of a creature that lived on a different planet, and I just heard about it my entire life, and I thought I knew everything that this creature did, and then I just made it.
Yeah.
But I thought it needed to have lightning stuff.
Yeah.
And
the rumors, like, you've never actually seen one yourself, but you've been told lots of stories, like a biblically accurate angel. Like, oh, I guess it's this monstrosity thing.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. It was horrible, and then it continued on.
It's so fun. The bit that kills me is when Boimler and, I think it's Boimler and Rutherford, Boimler and somebody are talking, And then the dog walks along, turns into a fucking cube,
and then just
and keeps rolling along.
If you can call it rolling, oh, yes.
That just kills me. And Boimler's just like, okay.
Oh man,
that gets me. It's just that Rick and Morty style humor. I'm just so happy this exists. Like, to get moments like that are just too bizarre for actual Star Trek, but in my happy place, feels like a personal gift to me.
The show does a good job as well of setting it up in that opening, because she goes through this in-depth explanation as to how the dog was created.
Mm-hmm.
With like all these different ways of, like, I can't wait to show you what it did with the mitochondria. You're going to think it's so hilarious. Just these... And that's the kind of writing that the animation is fun. Like you said, the Rick and Morty style, or just this unexpected, it kind of shifted into horror, but then humor. And it's all working really, really well.
Yeah.
And to sprinkle that into this episode, I think it's my favorite part of this episode for sure. Yeah. Because the adventure that Mariner is going on to this other ship to save people, and, you know, the little bog bit where they're kind of doing their thing,
mm-hmm.
was just like, okay, we're going on a Star Trek adventure.
Yeah.
The actual Captain Freeman, you know, being sent on this. I loved about the Captain Freeman bit as well, which we only see a couple of times in this episode. Mm-hmm. They were taking it so seriously. And what they were saying about, like, we've got to be able to plant the seed at any moment.
We have
to
be available.
It was so over the top and ridiculous, mm-hmm. but they were absolutely serious about it. Like, that kind of humor as well is something that I can't stop thinking about. And if I was going to rewatch a moment from this episode, I think it would be when the fill-in captain has just had a brief moment to check in with Captain Freeman, and they're deadpan serious. Like, it could happen anytime now. We're going to be asked. And they're in ninja gear in ultimate secrecy.
In a cave.
And the crew is respectfully talking like, well, that's a really big mission, you know. And it's so, that also is a part of this writer's humor that it's really, I don't know. It was very, very delightful. I liked it.
It would get a sin removal because it's unsinnable, because it's sinning itself so perfectly, because it is sending up this Star Trek trope of this really, really important thing that might seem really, really mundane because it alien shit happens. But that setup is pulled directly from Chain of Command, a two-parter in The Next Generation, where Picard, Worf, and Beverly go on a super secret mission, and a replacement captain comes in, changes all of the rules. So that's what Mariner is referencing. Nobody likes sub-captain because they come in, they want to buffer the things, they have unreasonable demands. That's what Jellicoe does in Chain of Command. And what's hilarious, you're like, this is a super secret covert mission into Cardassian space. Beverly, my friend, what the fuck are you doing here? And we find out it's because Beverly has this very specific knowledge about this certain type of, like, biological radiation that's being used in this weapon. And she's like, oh, that's why I'm on this mission, because of, like, this research paper that I wrote that nobody knows about and, like, didn't exist until this episode. So that very specific plant knowledge is taking that to the extreme. Oh, Ransom and Shax are on this mission because they happen to be specialists in this random fucking plant. So I love that parody and love letter at the same time to TNG. It's such a... There is so much packed into just that one premise. I love it.
I had no idea about the reference at all.
You wouldn't. We haven't seen the episode.
But I like that. Well, I have seen. Well, TNG is like, if I've seen something, it would have been from TNG.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? For sure.
But so maybe we'll start watching it and I'll have a memory, which has happened many times on this show, where I'll watch something and wait, I've been here before.
This seems like I have a memory of this place.
Well, that explains then why this episode didn't sit too much into that. That it was such a strong reference
to TNG. We know what that is. Yeah.
That anyone who knows TNG would be like, oh, I know what to expect this episode. And so the episode does something like it's just a little, like a little line, you know.
And Picard and everyone they're all wearing the black tactical gear as well. And it takes place in a cave. Like it is that episode.
It sort of ruins it for me a little bit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Tell me more. Tell me why this is a new 10 forward gate.
So I understand. So I think one of the things that works for Lower Decks for people who watch Star Trek is the references.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons it's a successful show inside the universe. Mm-hmm. It does a really beautiful thing of bringing in new viewers and delighting old viewers too. So I think I understand doing those kinds of things, but I kind of want it to, it's standing on its own in unique ways. And I'm always going to have a confusion about when is this show standing on its own and doing something super unique mm-hmm. and silly.
Yeah.
And when is it standing on a reference?
That's a great point. Yeah.
And so
you're misappropriating right now, credit. You're like, oh, I didn't need to give Lower Decks credit for that because TNG did it. Yeah, I see what you mean.
It still gives credit to Lower Decks for doing it that way.
It knows exactly what it's doing. Yeah.
They're making fun of themselves.
Yeah.
But for me, I didn't think it was a making fun of moment. It was clear based on like some, how casual, like, oh, they're doing something real serious. Like the way that they said it had a vibe to it that I wondered if they were making fun of Captain Freeman, but they also were treating it with like an element of like reverence and respect.
Yeah. And I think also, it can be that. Yeah. I think it could well be because this is serious to them. So I can see it being interpreted either way for sure.
Yeah. So finding out that it's like, it wasn't the show putting out some random note. And here's the other thing that kind of bums me out. It's like, oh, so it was so random and it was so out of place and it didn't have a part in the rest of it, except for the reason for, you know,
having a captain to show up. Yeah, exactly.
But they could make that be anything, like, you know, so mm-hmm. this is their reason, you know, for doing this thing and having a couple of lines. Now I know that those couple of lines exist as an inside joke instead of it being like giving them something so, for me, obscure to do, so ridiculous to do that it just was like a stupid thing. Like they're carrying around a plant. It just seemed really stupid. But to make it important was funny and they kind of, but that was only existent because of a reference.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's part of what the show does.
Knowledge is power.
Changes how I feel about things.
Well, the other bit of the episode we have is Boimler being stuck in a transporter beam, which, like, we've had lots of transporter episodes come up, and I love that Lower Decks found the perfectly silly way to do it. What if you got stuck in the very, very last part that's apparently cosmetic? And, like, Boimler's the perfect person for it to happen to. He wants to impress new people. And to begin with, like, he's just going around with this high-pitched shrieking.
Yeah. It's tinnitus so be damned. But I like that. If you want to know what having tinnitus is like, you just watch this episode.
But I love it. I kind of loved having the constant final end of the transporter beam around. But yeah, he gets sent to a secret ship, which kind of like poses another question, which is really fun for the show to answer for me, which is all of like the crazy shit that we happen, like the two Vixes, the salamanders, like all of the stuff that goes out of phase. Geordi gets turned into an alien at one point, like all of the stuff that happens. What happens to the people that don't get, like, immediately turned back? Like, all of the Enterprise, where during Genesis, when it all goes through, they will get de-evolved. Like, fortunately, Beverly was able to re-evolve everybody. But what happens to the people that can't? Like, I would happily have a TV show set on the farm. I think it's great.
There was a part of the episode I sunk my teeth into the most because I was, like I said, disassociating to the Mariner bit. Mm-hmm. But I think the show told me what I was annoyed by the end. Which was when the captain of this shuttle that's taking these people to this farm, mm-hmm. When they arrive on the planet and it's exactly what he was promised, this kind of beautiful space for healing, this sort of spa, a medical spa, the captain guy says, we should really work on like changing our lighting and maybe painting things in a more appealing color and having communication. So, the show,
you were picking up on all of that already.
It tell, of course.
Yeah.
And the show tells you, I mean, like it's telegraphing that something nefarious is going on, you know, and all of those things can be solved with just a few scenes of things going different. But then like, what would the show be about? So then I ask myself like, well, what is this doing for a Star Trek fan? And I think we should maybe focus more on that for you. Like, what does this do for you? Because you've seen more of these medical problems than I have. So is it like a question solve? Is District 14 or whatever 14, whatever it's called? What's it called?
Division 14? Yeah.
Let's check notes.
Check the notes.
Yeah, Division 14. Is that something you're like, oh, that that's fun because that's going to answer all these questions I have. And then you're seeing machines that I've never seen before. And
yeah,
like the people that are just have their heads out of the top with like the little beep beep thing. And are you looking at this going, oh, this is fun? For me, I'm not looking at it going like, oh, I've seen this in an episode before. It's just, here's all the body horror that we can think of that someone has endured working for Starfleet.
That's really interesting. For me as a fan, it is like this umbrella thing that's really fun to think about because so many of these issues happen. Like so many episodes, the premise are crazy thing happens. We've got it solved by the end of the episode. So I like the idea that they had to create this place for the problems that aren't immediately able to be solved. And it kind of makes sense to me. So just as a premise, I think they could have done a lot more with it. But as a premise, I think it's really fun. Like, you're right. The misdirection of everything looks evil, but it's actually, no, it is a sanctuary. It is exactly what we said it was going to be. That misdirect is kind of like low hanging fruit a little bit. Like, you could do a lot more with this premise. But overlay that with some of the references that they couldn't help themselves with. The salamander is from Voyager. That's something that happens in a notorious episode where Janeway and Tom get turned into salamanders. The people in the electronic wheelchair boxes, that's what Pike ends up in after his accident with all of the radiation, the
his
stuff that
future accident?
Yeah, his future accident. He ends up in the box where you can only beep. Like, that's his future. That's
why
what
can
he ends
only
up in.
Beep?
Because the Delta radiation destroyed his nervous system. So yeah, he is in a box and he can beep once. I know they probably in the 2300s they should probably
grim.
Yeah, they should probably have better ways of communicating. But yeah,
yeah, that's a sin. Yeah. David called it out on YouTube. This sin, the Captain Pike beeping chair is still apparently the only treatment for severe Delta radiation exposure in the 24th century.
He should be able to communicate more. Yeah, so that's Pike's future. That's what he was trying to avoid, but has now accepted. So, and you've also there was another one that is escaping me. But yeah, it's. Quite a few of them were ailments that we've seen before. So it's, again, little rewards to the people that have seen a ton of Star Trek. But I thought the concept for me was really, really fun. I like that. I like exploring that.
I never believed that they were going to be going someplace they weren't supposed to be going to.
Yeah, that doesn't really check out, does it? It's not a section. I think they're tying into like a Section 31 kind of vibe, but
yeah, they want you to believe that they're just being shuttled off because these people are worthless now and can't,
yeah,
you know, they can't contribute, so we're going to just go and put them on the farm, which is for people who live in the Ozarks and maybe anywhere else in the world. You're told that your dog has been sent to the farm once it's, you know, useless and old. Usually it's just been taken to the vet and euthanized. So, like, it's clear that they're trying to do the diversion, but there's just no way that wouldn't have been discovered.
Mm.
And so I never believed that they weren't going there.
Yeah.
And the Boimler drama is just him, you know, trying to do the right thing. It goes wrong. I'm having a hard time. I'm realizing the last few episodes of taking this show seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that I'm trying to take it seriously.
But you can't stop because I think it wants to be taken seriously as well. Like, it's firmly in the universe. The Cerritos is a ship. Like, all of this, to use the deadly word, is in canon. So it's hard to not take it seriously and then to not be like, huh, how are you people still in the job?
That's not to say that in real everyday life, we don't have weird things happening that, like, does someone jump on a bus to go to a rehabilitation center of some kind and think that they're never going to get off the bus because, you know, it's going to take them 2 days to get there and they end up wondering if they're just going to be shut up. Like, this is probably all coming from a place where just weird stuff happens in real life and we're trying to like amplify it and go, but in space where they have to go light years away.
It's weirder.
Months or however long the guy said that it had taken to kind of get there. But so maybe part of it is believable, but I have a hard time thinking that there wouldn't be comfortable accommodations, that the captain of that ship wouldn't have kept Boimler in a separate area since he's the one that pissed everybody off. Like, Boimler has jumped in this episode and stomped, and maybe the only reason he survives is because he's phased and he doesn't have a physical form. But he was about to be murdered. Like, this.
Well, they did.
And no one is charged for that.
Yeah, they didn't know. Like, a murder was attempted. because they didn't know that they landed. They did throw him into space. That's my biggest sin of the episode for sure. So yeah, so I think that's always going to be an inherent flaw with Lower Decks.
Yeah. So there's some things that are just, for me, extremely unbelievable. And that's, you know, that's part of it is going, okay, I got to get my Lower Decks head on when I'm wanting to take it more seriously, because everything else I try to take pretty seriously because I want to respect the material.
Well, it's especially hard when Boimler turns up in Strange New Worlds, because that really solidifies that this is a human being.
It is.
This is happening.
We're just watching all of this through the filter of animation.
Yeah. He is a real person. We have seen him and Mariner. Like, it's, yeah, that... that's going to be a side effect of bringing them into the quote-unquote real world. But I did have a lot of fun with it. I can't help myself. I'm sorry, Ambassador. How many pips would you give it out of four?
2.5.
It's 3.5 for me. 3.5. I really, really like this episode. Just as a switch my brain off comedy, I can't ignore the belly laughs that it gives me. I really, really love it. But I completely see where you're coming from.
I'm having a hard time with the Lower Decks.
It's going to be really interesting to watch season 5 and see how that tweaks you now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that, let's head over to engineering, even though I think we've done a lot of the sinning, to officially do some sinning.
Warning, warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
Red alarm, red alarm.
This is the part of the show where we re-engage our sin brains and remind ourselves that no TV shows about sin, even our beloved Star Trek. We really hit on my biggest sin of the episode, which is they kill a man. They throw Boimler into space. Just because you didn't know the gun wasn't loaded, it doesn't mean that, like, your intent was to kill that person. Like, they threw him into space. They just got lucky that they'd actually landed. So yeah, that's wild to me. And there's no consequences. There is nothing that comes of that. They all just shake hands and move on. Is hard to eat and swallow.
Sin. That sound.
The transporter sound?
Just quit it. That was so annoying.
I'm so glad they found a way to stop it.
That sound.
That was for
was
us.
Obnoxious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... Cutting that out wasn't for the plot. That was for us. They knew that was going to be annoying. Yeah.
Yes.
I would like to sin that Amina, I believe that's her name, can just willy-nilly take an ensign that happens to be her best friend and give her the experience of being first officer. Nepotism much! Like, just bring your buddy on to be first officer. It seems a little bit unfair to any lieutenants that might be on board that would love the opportunity to prove themselves as a commander, if we're going to get nitpicky. We got, oh, this was fun. So this is when the Vulcan, when they're on the Rubido, she turns on the artificial gravity. You really should know where the crew is and that they're in a position to be gravitated before you force gravity upon them.
Because that's
they could have easily been under a container, upside down. It's the sort of thing where you want to be really careful. Everybody is holding on to something tight or has been secured before you willy-nilly turn it back on.
Gravity with consent.
Gravity with consent, always. Exactly.
I've mentioned a lot of my thoughts, so I will start reading from the chat.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll give some receipts for that.
You guys have got some great sins.
Tendi, do you want the thing? Because this is how you get the thing from Flyboy.
What's
making
that?
The dog. Making the dog, right?
Oh, the thing. Oh, it really is. Yeah, that really is.
She created... this dog does not reappear in any form or fashion in their world at some point, I'm going to be so disappointed, because this dog is like...
I can't believe you got the thing reference and I didn't. This is a slow day for my brain. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I've got one I wanted to add. Where did that shuttle come from that was on the farm, and why aren't we taking that?
Yeah,
Boimler and Tendi leave on a fucking shuttle. Where did that come from?
Yes, that was really strange. Like, why can't we just take a shuttle to? Why can't we just take a shuttle back? Why do we have to take the creepy ship?
Because they need to be convinced that it takes months to get there.
That's
exactly. They really should have more comfortable accommodation given the shit that they're going through. Like, Starfleet should be line of duty. We respect that you've literally put your body on the line. The farm's great, as is the vehicle that's going to get you there.
My next sin is actually one that I just found in my notes, and I remember that was up in the chat. And thank you, Wandering, for posting this one, because here it is. There is no way that this transporter modification is faster than transporting them normally. Rutherford says it saves half a second, but it takes much longer to enable the thing. And this was in my notes. I was like, yeah, it's taking so long to do this thing, but I couldn't remember if there was something else that he was modifying with the machine to make it more efficient somehow. But I thought it was just based on time.
This is one of the problems, because the joke at the beginning is great, because he's like, oh my God, it's half a second quicker. Like, the materialization takes a long time, whatever. And then the TNG one is quicker than the one in TOS, and the one in Discovery is even quicker than that. So I think the joke is referencing how one of the goals of transporters is to get it faster and faster and faster. But then when you turn that into the plot crutch at the end, it opens up a lot of questions, because it didn't really save any time. And the thing is, with the impressive thing for me wasn't necessarily how quickly he beamed them out, but it was the amount of people he beamed at the same time. Like, he beamed all of them at once. And usually there's this, we can only beam out so many people at a time, and if we're going to rescue everybody, get to the transporter pads, and there's a time crunch here. So the volume was what impressed me, not the duration.
Yeah, it seemed like it would have taken a lot of energy. And he ran over and grabbed some chips and ran back, and it took too long. It shouldn't work. Yeah. Whatever the sin is there, that's just a bunch of bullshit.
Just in emergencies, it should be automated as well. It should be computer. You do the button pushing. I won't. You're quick. You're already there. Computer, you're in the transporter room already. Could you please beam them over?
See, it was really confusing too. And so there's several of these in the chat in the form of this, which is confusion and or sins about the chain of the chain of command. Not the show, not the episode.
Okay.
But so the Captain Freeman leaves, and then the next new captain, the babysitter, arrives. But then we see that there are still officers on the ship that have, I guess, just been taking the time off, because we see Ransom at the end with like a beard in the background just hanging out at the bar. So why? One of my questions I forgot to ask earlier was, is that normal? Like, I would think that one of the remaining officers would just be promoted to like a temp captain situation.
So in Chain of Command, they reassign Picard off of the Enterprise and bring in Jellico. It's not actually necessarily as a temp. It's when they think that this mission will be for a long time or has such a risk involved that the captain might not ever come back. And Riker, for whatever reason, they weren't ready to put Riker in command of the most important ship in the fleet. Like, his first command probably shouldn't be the Enterprise. It's the most important ship. So Jellico comes in because he has a lot more experience. So yeah, they actually mention in that episode, Geordi's like, they usually don't go through all of this unless it's like for a long time or permanent. So yeah, it's not the norm, but it's when they think the mission is extra long or extra risky. And Ransom was on the mission as well, so that's why he wasn't there.
Ransom was at the bar at the end before the captain.
Yeah, that's
didn't
after
even
the mission.
Back.
That's after the mission's finished.
I missed that bit. How do we know the mission was finished?
Because he's back on the ship. But it was Ransom, Shax, and Captain Freeman that were on the mission.
Oh,
which I think are the
okay.
three most senior people.
Okay. I miss it. Ransom was part of the three. I was totally distracted. Yeah. Okay.
And it has to be Ransom and Shax because they have the plant knowledge. So I think when you wipe out that much of the command crew, you have to bring in, it makes sense to bring in somebody new.
Okay, so Ransom comes back, but that was part of the crew. Okay, that helps me to kind of timeline.
Yeah.
It still seems really interesting to bring on other people. And I think that the sins...
It's very disruptive.
The sins of the chat were about existing rank of command, but then also it seemed like they brought on the replacement after the captain had already left. So
that there should be an actual handover of power. Like, they do this changeover of logs, whereas like Freeman's already on this fucking mission. She's gone. And then the crew beamed over. So there should be a handing off ceremony. As far as we know from TNG.
I also love that there were multiple sin removals from different people about the line of the guy who laughs creepily. And he's just like, oh, this is just how I laugh. And I thought that was really, really funny because those were kind of coming
alien.
In.
This is how I laugh. I love that. Also, I forgot to mention this, but he is, people went crazy when we saw him, understandably, because he is an alien that was first introduced in the original series, the animated series. I've completely forgotten the name of his species. He's an Edosian called Arix. And yeah, he has three arms. And the fun thing about the animated series is they're like, we can draw whatever we want. So we're going to have a cat and a man with three arms. And they're going to be the new crew members that are aboard the ship. Because you can draw whatever you want. You're not limited. So they actually put aliens on the fucking Enterprise. So yeah, it was a nice callback to have another Edosian, which is fun.
Amazing. Is genetic engineering illegal? Speaking of Tendi and toiletry.
Oh, good question.
Because the chat seems, it or is Wandering seems eugenics. To think so. Wandering says genetic engineering is hugely illegal, but there's no repercussions for Tendi doing it.
It's hugely illegal on humans. Like, there's a huge ban on eugenics and genetic engineering in humans. I don't know about Sykes experiments. I think it should extend to dogs and animals as well. Like, you're creating a, especially this one, because this one can talk and can reason. So this is a sentient being. So yes, I actually think this is super duper illegal.
Then the dog is not like this sentient being.
Yeah.
It's going fly. To come back, right? It's, if they bring Badgie back and not this crazy dog that can reorganize itself and become other things. So wild.
That's amazing.
I think that's it for what I've got.
Okay, well, that's it for my sins as well. Before we say goodbye, we do have time for a quick email. So let's head over to the Observation Lounge. Okay, hailing frequencies open, everyone. It's time for us to read your emails from Twitter, Discord, and, well, email. Ambassador, this one was specifically aimed at you. It's quite short.
Okay, that was a instantly I was excited and then also like, oh, because I guess I don't need to have long, long emails.
Well, I think you're going to like this one.
Sure I will. Let's get into it.
Somebody quite, and this is firmly on the topic of 10 forward this week.
Okay.
Last week.
Yeah. What did you keep in the show?
All of it.
Really? Oh, that was a moment for me.
Because we didn't re-record the intro to 10 forward. We just kept it. We stayed on that segue, and then I put more context into the outtakes.
Right. Okay.
For why it was such a painful moment, but it hurt. Like, we talked afterwards as well. It hurt you.
Yeah. I think you have to liken it to finding out something that you've believed for a really long time about some piece of lore isn't that. So I simultaneously feel sadness that it's different than I thought. And also, like, I'm mad at my brain for not knowing. Like, how would I know? I'm not a big Star Trek person that, like, understands the references to all of the ships. You know what I mean?
Of course. What?
Yeah.
And it's not something
it makes me feel
knew.
A little, like, a little, not stupid isn't the right word, but, like.
No. You weren't in on the joke.
When you're the only person in a room of people that didn't know something, you kind of like, that. But to double it up with losing a feature that I really liked.
I'm trying to convince you haven't lost a feature.
I have. It's gone forever.
It's still 10 forward. Anyway, Melissa's email. Thank you for sending this in. Ian and Danae, I wanted to thank you for two of the funniest lines I've ever heard on a podcast. First, it's always 10 forward somewhere, which I didn't realize was funny, but now that I think about it, yeah, I mean, it's always 10 forward somewhere. Just have a drink. And the second one was just Danae screaming, 10 forward is a lie. Just cutting me off. No context. 10 forward is a lie.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Melissa.
It's such a delight that you guys are enjoying what Ian and I are doing, because this whole podcast exists because we wanted to talk about Star Trek.
Yeah.
So why not capture the moment? And then we've just, you know, been adding more and more to it.
Weirdness to it.
Including like the live show, which we know not everybody can attend. So we, but the baseline, the drumbeat of it is just the podcast, you know, you guys who are listening to it. But it was hard to be emotional too, because on the live show, I'm like, I'm highly aware. I'm not trying to be a downer. To people, like, they're coming to the show hopefully to have a good time and to chat and be
the
around
Trek energy.
Other Star Trek lovers, and here I am, like, I'll be honest with you, I almost cried last week, and I almost cried just a minute ago talking about it again. Like, it really bothers me.
I'm with you. Like, it is, especially TNG, because TNG is such a warm blanket. It's such a happy place. So to have something about that tweaked, and I'm not going to say ruined, but tweaked, is difficult. Now...
Oh, I just figured out another example. Here's another example.
Go on. The Tooth Fairy.
You really love a dish.
Dish, okay.
And you really love it. And you're like, this is so fucking good. And then you find out how it's made.
Yeah. And or that it's terribly bad
for you.
You
could still go eat it, but now you know.
If you love black pudding and don't know how it's made or what it is, stay ignorant to my English,
perfect
to the English listeners.
That's right. Yeah.
However, I will, and I hope this is true, Lodair did come to the rescue in the Discord with a pretty good explanation as well. As we discover late in season 2 of Picard, it's called 10 Forward in the Past as well, Guinan's Bar, where Picard meets Guinan, quote unquote. And the reason it's called 10 Forward is because it's located on Forward Avenue and it's number 10.
Yes, so, and I remembered that from Picard because we were in the streets.
Yeah. So it's, and I think that helps because it doesn't mean that 10 Forward is called 10 Forward because of where it is. It's Guinan deliberately sought out Deck 10 Forward section because the name of her bar was called 10 Forward. So the Enterprise 10 Forward is called 10 Forward because it's a bar and not the location comes second.
Thank you for trying to help me reconcile with this really strange emotion I'm feeling. It seems so irrational, you know, as well, like, this is just a TV show.
It's a semantic satiation thing. It loses meaning, but this word has gained meaning. It had no meaning. It was just a name, but now it's gained meaning that it didn't have before for you. It's fascinating. I'm enjoying your emotions.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ian, for reveling in my pain.
Always here for you. If you want to reach out to the show, send us a lovely email to captainspod@cinemasins.com. We love reading your emails. And join our lovely Captain's Pod Star Trek community on the CinemaSins Discord, discord.gg/cinemasins, and join the Captain's Pod channel where we talk about Star Trek and we do spoilery stuff and they're lovely people. Next week, we will be covering Season 1, Episode 8, Veritas. 3 episodes left, Ambassador. 8, 9, and 10. We're getting to the end of Lower Decks. Are you excited?
Yay!
We're at the end of the season.
Woo!
Things ramp up. Or do they? Bah! Until next week, it's who has multiple protein bonds? You do, from me.
And it's, you're a freak. I know. I just didn't want you to worry from me.
Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
Just to be clear, this is a normal dog, and she's messing with us.
Uh-huh. Oh my god!
Not a normal dog! Not a normal dog!
Oh god, not a normal dog. This is turning something I need to care about. Yo, what did I just see? What the fuck was that? No, it was so cute. Okay, no, it's fine. It's fine because Lower Decks never repeats what was happening in the intro. So that was just a one-off and we're not going to see that anymore.
Test.
God damn it.
Test. Oh, love that. You didn't hear my typing, I don't think. We'll see. New board, who this? Oh, I have buttons. Okay, what else have I got? I don't know why I'm asking what I've got. I put the sounds on here. TOS. Torpedo, for those of you at home. Of course you knew that. As you can tell, the ambassador is not here yet, so I am just talking Star Trek. Man, I can't imagine how hard it would be to do a podcast on your own and just talk. Fuck, that coffee was hot. Jesus. I guess it helps when you're your own worst enemy.
I don't believe you. I'm sorry. Just like my daughter does not believe that I am the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, let's get right into that. How did you spoil the Tooth Fairy, Danae?
Listen, I fucking have to do a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I fell asleep and didn't wake up early enough to get her tooth fairy money, okay? Yeah. And when she picked up her pillow and saw her tooth there, I wasn't about to blame the fucking tooth fairy. I was like, babe, I'm about to tell you something here.
Honest conversation about to happen. When the explanation came around, how did you rationalize it?
I'm the tooth fairy. I forgot. I fell asleep. I'm sorry. That's literally exactly what I said.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And how did she react to that? Was she okay?
She stared at me for probably 3 seconds with sort of this probably replaying what I had just said. And then she says, I don't believe you.
It's amazing. What a response that is. That's amazing. I do not believe you.
But it turns out she didn't believe me because she thought that I was saying I was a tooth fairy for the entire world.
I love that child logic. Like, I am the tooth fairy. Mom, you can't.
No.
You can't get into other people's houses like that.
No, you're not, Mom.
That's silliness.
Oh, what?
I just don't get your booty on the floor tonight.
Make my day.
Is that what you were going for? Was that the? Because I heard.
No, I just made a noise, but I can hear it. Yeah. Place Tuesday.
Oh, can I tell you about an experiment that I'm doing?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to give me a quadrant of the house that this experiment is happening in.
Upstairs.
Okay.
My house.
Yeah. Yeah, your house. You're upstairs. Okay.
Upstairs of my house.
Okay. Yeah. So upstairs in your house is your office, mm-hmm. your bathroom, your yep. bedroom,
yeah,
and a couple of cupboards. Oh, there's also windows yep. to the street. Where you can spy on your creepy neighbors.
Okay, I'm not including those experiments.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that the experiment is happening in your bathroom, and it's because you've chosen not to clean something to see what it grows into. We're looking for a new life.
I love that.
A new life form. A new life.
Strange new life. Yeah.
No. You had like a little tendril reaching out of that little.
Oh, no, you don't know me at all. That's fucking grim. I don't like mold. Okay, that may not be specific to Ian, but it's worse. It's unknown. I don't like.
But what about seeking out new life and new civilizations?
Nah, fuck it. Not if it's going to be gross. It is in the bathroom. Oh. That was great. You nailed it. There is an experiment happening in the bathroom.
So in the bathroom, the tub/shower area.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is part of it is like floor to ceiling window that's not tinted, but it's like, what is that called?
Misted.
It's like it's warbled. Warbled.
Why did we both say warbled? That's not right.
Warbled. It's such a strange word. Anyway.
That's not how you describe a physical object, Ian and Danae, at the same time.
One day when I was, because I stayed there, I've stayed there twice now, I've come mm-hmm. to visit. And when I was there, I was like, I know that technically people can't like just see in as I shower.
But there's no technically about it. They can't see in.
But they can. They can see shape.
They see a wobbly outline. They see a warbled outline.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
So
there's a blind in there as well that you can pull down.
This is the experiment I'm talking. I'm getting to the experiment. Okay. You've nailed it. So okay.
As the person who knows what the experiment is, I have not nailed it.
The first time that I ever took a shower.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. I don't like this. Like, you don't like little tendrils of mold? I also don't like to be exposed while showering.
Such a prude.
So I'm such an American. So I went to go like lower.
Yeah.
And this thing not meant to be lowered. This particular part of your home is in and of itself an experiment.
I haven't lowered that since I moved in.
It's an experiment. It is a in the works experiment. How long is it going to be
you
up
have
there
moved
and
that
useless?
More than anyone else? Probably in the last decade. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've narrowed it down now to the other half of the bathroom.
Okay, so now we're talking toilet side.
Yes, toilet side.
Okay. Are you hanging something on the wall?
No.
That's heavy? Okay, because that would be an experiment since your walls are questionable.
100%, yeah. I mean, I tried to hang headphones and there's still a hole in my wall.
There's not a lot of hooks in that bathroom.
No, I do so need I to add maybe some more for when the Dicers visit.
And when my option was to drape it over a radiator.
It's a great option.
But then you have to tuck it like in these you have to tuck it into the folds of the radiator to make it stay.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So I would just so maybe the experiment you should be working on is that problem, which I've never really told you about. So this is a great. You know what? This has become the segment where I tell you the things that are wrong with your bathroom.
The things that made your stay with me just unimaginably terrible. Yeah.
It wasn't unimaginably terrible.
And it was all within the realms of a bad Airbnb.
Oh, okay. Thinking of more things that I would solve.
Love this game.
Are you trying to level the floor?
No, that would mean knocking down the house, moving it, and then rebuilding it somewhere else.
How old is your house?
This house is wonky.
Tell everybody how old your house is.
It is 120 years old. 130 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, 130 years old.
There is a reason when you step onto the floor, you just kind of like take off. You have momentum.
Everything. So my mum spilled a glass of water last week and she went to clean up where it was. And I said, no, you've got to get ahead of it. It's gone over there. Like, she was like, why are you cleaning over here? And I said, because I know this is where the water will end up. Like, I can solve a lot of problems just by getting downhill of it.
Uh-huh. What experiment are you doing? God.
Okay, I am experimenting with toilet paper that doesn't have the little cardboard tube in the middle.
What? How did you acquire it? Just, was it cheap?
By mistake. I don't, as long as it isn't the cheapest one that's like sandpaper, and it's not the one that's like $10, £10 for four rolls, I'm getting the one that's in the middle. So I grabbed that, it looked nice. I get it home and I'm like, oh, that's weird. They forgot to put the... How do you forget to put the cardboard toilet roll thing inside it? And I look at the packaging and it says, less waste. You get more for your money because they can roll it tighter and then you don't have this thing, the cardboard thing, to recycle.
Okay, so quick question. If there's not a lot of space in the middle, then did you have to engineer how you were going to attach it to your toilet paper holder? No,
there's enough room. That's not the engineering problem. Like, there's enough room to get it onto the toilet paper holder thing. The problem is when you get to the end, there is an amount of structural integrity that cardboard tube provides because the paper is like glued to it. And then, but when you get there, it's not. So the last, I don't know what's going to happen when I get to the last like kind of 10 sheets. They're just going to be like limply hanging there. Am I going to have to use 10 at a time for that? Because that feels wasteful.
No, they're going to look like your towels, just limply hanging off of things in there.
Limply hanging off the radiator.
Yeah, it's your aesthetic. Limply hanging. Play Star Trek, and what's that?
Star Trekking across the universe on the Starship Enterprise under Captain Kirk. Star Trekking across the universe, only going forward because we can find reverse.
What was the one that I like with like the little tiny voice?
Oh, it was this one. Let's do the show in these voices. You think everybody will stick around?
I don't think so. And if they did, I would judge them for it.
Okay.
Captain's Pod Stardate!
Go on!
Captain's Pod, I've lost my flipping intro. Captain's Pod Stardate 1690-64.1. Ding.
Okay. This is done now.
The cat is meowing, so I'm going to go take care of the cat.
Okay. You should go sort that out. Psst, psst. Come here, little kitty bird. The line must be drawn here. It's fine, no further.
Sorry.